Hello and welcome into the Gotta Be Saints podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Gotta. Join me each week as I speak with future saints about being saints. Today's podcast is titled, What Grief Can Teach Us. I have with me Andrea Baer. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Brendan?
I'm good. Well, before we get started, I want to introduce our podcast sponsors, which they are, as always, Good Catholic and The Catholic Company. I am employed by The Catholic Company, and I want to share with you that great gift with a 20% off coupon. If you go to The Catholic Company website, you know that they have a little bit of everything in terms of the Catholic space. From books to rosaries to clothing, they've got it all. So use code GATTA for 20% off your order. That's code GATTA for 20% off your order. Secondarily, I want to plug Good Catholic. Good Catholic is a Catholic media that provides wonderful digital series that will get you to really think deeper into your faith life. If you use code GATTA, you can also receive 20% off your order. These series are really cool. Our most recent one is based on purgatory. So I invite you to check that out and let us know what you think. But that's code GATTA for both of those. So back on to today's conversation, What Grief Can Teach Us. I'm really excited to have you on today. I think this is a topic that needs to be discussed, especially as Catholics, because there is a beauty to what we know as Catholics. When you really know the Lord and understand that death is not the end, there's a great beauty and a peace that comes with that. And I think this is something that it needs to be discussed and sometimes is often not discussed. It's pushed to the side. And so I'm excited to have you on to just kind of talk about this topic. So I think to begin, I just want to allow you to introduce yourself and then we can get on with our conversation today.
Thank you, Brendan. Yes, I'm definitely great. I'm so glad to be here because I do think this is a topic that we don't discuss as much, or we don't discuss it in the manner that I think gives people support and healing. So to give you a little background, I am a writer with CatholicMom.com. I've been writing with them since about 2019. And I recently published my publisher published, Elk Lake Press, my first fiction novel called Grieving Daughters Club. And how I came into writing is really kind of an accident because I'm a high school history teacher and I never saw myself as a writer. In fact, that was the last thing on my mind. In fact, if anything, I'm definitely a Martha. I'm a doer. I don't just, give cupcakes at the bake sale. I run the bake sale. I get a corporate sponsor. I go beyond. And my mom passed away in 2018. And she had glioblastoma brain cancer, which is the most aggressive form of brain cancer you can have. And I was very involved with my mom's life. She was a big part of it. She, like myself, she was a Martha. She was a doer. She worked in the Diocese of Stockton. She did a lot of marketing for them. She did development. And so she was a big part of my life. And when she passed away, it really affected me deeply. And I think death in general is a hard thing. It affects people in different ways. Not every single person deals with grief the same way. Two people can have their mothers pass away and they both will react differently. For my mom, when she passed away, it shocked me in how my grief came about because I missed her greatly, but I didn't realize how much I had vested myself in my purpose. And I tried to pick up just as life had intended when she passed away. I continued to volunteer at my children's school. I tried to do things in my job. And what I found is I became crippled because the shock of grief hits you so deeply and sometimes you can't function. And I came to find out, you know, later that they're actually, you know, chemical imbalances that happen when a person grieves. The first few months, you're exhausted, you're tired, you get this, what they call grief fog. And I had experienced all of those things. I couldn't understand why I was so exhausted all the time. And little things were so difficult for me to do. And I continued to operate in the manner that I had tried to before. And it wasn't working. And I finally realized that a lot of this had to be centered around my mom's death. And I remember hearing constantly people say, "Andrea, you just need to be." And I had no idea what that meant, because for me to be meant to sit around and do nothing. And when you're a doer, your tasks define you. You know, I'm a people pleaser. I found it very easy for me to do tasks that validated me. My mom was always my biggest fan. Every time I did something, she validated it. She honored that. And so when she passed away, I tried to navigate life without her, I just found that things were kind of crumbling around me. So I started taking up journaling. And what I found in journaling is I could release a lot of those things that were bothering me. And I didn't feel like I was bothering other people. And that's the other stigma with grief is after a person dies, you know, there tends to be that period where people allow for mourning. But then after that, their lives continue, they go on. And you're still stuck with all of these emotions and this mourning and this longing. So I didn't want to bother people, because I knew also that with that came the sympathy, and that I didn't want the sympathy. Because it was very, "Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss and it will get better." It was a lot of warm fuzzies, and people mean well. I don't want to say that people have bad intentions, but that doesn't really help with the grief. And I think part of it is because people are uncomfortable with that. You know, they want to make you feel comfortable. They want to kind of get you through this so that you can get back and move on. And that wasn't working. So I started journaling a lot of my thoughts and just put them down. And that helped because they allowed me to release that. I joined a grief support group. And I would tell anyone that those are very valuable. They don't solve your grief, but they do allow you to come to a place where you can recognize all the things you're going through are not odd, or, you know, that it's very normal to experience all of these things. So as I started to journal, I had actually attended a Catholic women's conference close by, a couple towns over. And I ran into this old friend of mine, and she was a writer, and she was actually speaker at the conference. And I have no idea. Now, at the time, I didn't know why this inspired me, but now I realize it was the Holy Spirit. But I saw my friend Courtney speaking, and I thought, you know, I could do that. I could write. I could speak. And she seems like, you know, she was a mom. She is a mom. She has four children. She homeschools. I thought in my mind, writers were these just people that were untouchable. And I thought, Courtney's a normal human being and she's writing. So I started writing a lot of my thoughts, some grief related, some not. And I reached out to her and she gave me contact to reach out to some of her writing blogs. And it took me about 6 months to finally get the courage to write and submit something. And then when I did, my first article was called "How Facebook Taught Me to Be Grateful." And it kind of centered around why people post things on social media. And a Catholic radio station called me immediately and wanted to interview me on my article and wanted to know what else I was doing. And I had no knowledge of any, I didn't have anything. So, but it validated that I was supposed to do this. And so that's kind of what began my journey. And what I found in that is it was a great amount of healing. And, but I also realized that it would be in stages, because now I had found this new purpose, but not everybody was on board. And, I also found my faith was a big part of it. I dove very deeply into my faith, and I realized that my family, while they are Catholic and my husband is Baptist, you know, they were not receptive to it the way that I was. And so as a result, I end up being a lot of a hypocrite to a lot of the things that I was doing. I was very like devout in my practices, but then when I was at home, I would be angry, I would be upset, I would be withdrawn. And so I had to really learn. So I truly believe that my mom's death kind of led me on this journey with God to kind of grow in holiness, because that's really what we're here for, is to grow in that holiness. But I don't think you ever really get over the loss of someone, because grief is really love. And when you love someone so deeply, you grieve for that loss. You grieve for what was, what could have been. You grieve for the things they've taught you. And I also learned in this process that, as I mentioned at the very beginning, grief takes on different forms for different people. I was very close to my mom, but as I come to realize, not everybody has that same relationship. You can still grieve for somebody maybe that you struggle to have a relationship with, or if you didn't have those, that closure at the end, it changes in the way that you process that. So that kind of inspired me to write a story about what is now called the Grieving Daughters Club, and kind of talk about the different types of loss. And I feel like that is just the beginning. My book is a 3-part series, so there will be 2 others. And the first one really kind of chronicles the characters, the main character, her grief. But then there are other stages. You know, there's anger, there's shock, there's bargaining, there's the depression or sadness, and then there's finally the acceptance. So I think recognizing that there's no right way to grieve, there's no wrong way to do it, but there is also that aspect of, if you want to heal, you really do have to work towards that healing and not push it away, because grief doesn't escape you.
Interested in learning more about your faith? I invite you to check out Good Catholic. They are a digital media brand focused on sharing and teaching about the faith. From podcasts to blogs to digital series, Good Catholic has it all. Use the code in the show notes to get 20% off your order at Good Catholic. I just want to say thank you. I know that it's not easy to share what you've just shared. It's personal, and I think it needs to be said that, you know, it takes courage to share what you've just shared. So I thank you for that. And I think too, to the people who have listened to this or are listening to this, you know, there's value in hearing just what you're saying, and just the simple phrase of "you're not alone" is valuable and helpful to hear. You mentioned your book. You know, you recently wrote this book. It's a 3-part series. Can you talk a little bit more at length about that? I think for those who are listening at home, and you know, I think there might be value for them to just pick up your book. And so if you could just talk about that just a little bit more, I would love to hear about that, and then we can go from there. But
sure,
I want to give you that space. I know you mentioned it, but if you could just share even some of the details.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned at the very beginning, you know, I never considered myself a writer. And so when I began this writing journey, I felt called to write, but I didn't know what to write. And I've also found that when you force something, it will not come out in the manner that it's supposed to. So I really drew on the Holy Spirit to help guide me through this process. And what I found was, I had joined a women's Bible study. And ironically, I was with this group during the time that my mom had passed away. And we had stayed very much connected. In fact, even today, I get a text message every day from one of the members in our group, and she sends me a scripture passage. And when I started writing, I wanted to do bigger projects, but I didn't feel equipped to write a grief journal or a grief story. But I looked at that there were other types of grief out there, that it wasn't just my own. So I happened to look at the women in my group, and I realized grief is not just death. Sometimes we can mourn loss in a variety of ways. You know, losing a job, what could have been, a lifestyle that you had hoped that never happened. Sometimes losing your innocence, you know, so many people get into bad relationships, losing past time, you know, you've used all this time and time has changed. And so I looked at the women in my group and I thought, okay, well, I don't feel qualified and equipped to write about other people's grief, but I know this group and I know that I'm experiencing grief. And this is kind of a little side note, but we always had wine at our Bible studies. And I kind of joke that's the difference between like a Protestant Bible study and a Catholic Bible study, because we love our wine. And not all Catholics drink. I want to disclaim that, you know, but people always thought it was funny that we'd come together as this group and we'd always have wine, it'd be on a Friday night. So I thought of merging all of those ideas together. And so I created this as a fictional manner, but really the characters in my story are real people. And it talks about different forms of loss. Now, I don't want to tell too much about the story, but many of these women and their lives have experienced some great suffering. And I think that at the core is part of our Catholic faith and how we look at the role of suffering, because nobody wants to suffer, but I think it's also part of the human nature and how we deal with it. So my characters go through a series of different trials, and the main character, Frankie, who is the 40-year-old woman who's lost her mother, and you could say there's probably a little similarity to myself, she kind of navigates this group, and she joins a book club as a way to show faith to her family that she's moving toward out of her grief state. She's been grieving them for 2 years and not really ready to move on, but she's lost a lot of her contacts. She's pushed people away. And so she joins this club just to show good faith to her family, but she really has no interest in it. And then when she meets the women in this story, she realizes that they have more commonalities than differences, even though they're all very unique and eclectic. And she starts to learn some of her own experiences of loss and healing can actually be a form of comfort for others. And so the story continues. And one character is a young girl named Olivia. And she and Frankie are complete opposites. Olivia has never had a family. Her mom died when she was very young, so she never had that bond of a mother-daughter relationship. And so Frankie is drawn to her, and they end up becoming very consoling to each other in certain aspects of their life. So I've already gotten feedback from the story about how many people can relate to that form of loss. And it's done really well in the few weeks that it's been available. So that's kind of where the story goes. And I feel like it's a story that can really speak to people. I didn't want to write a self-help book. I find sometimes people that pick it up, while they need that to help themselves, sometimes there's people that need a self-help book and don't want a self-help book. So I look at it as more of like a parable. And speaking in parables, people can connect with the characters without feeling like they're targeted.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just so necessary to be, as I already said, to be having these conversations, and much to the points that you're talking about, you know, one regarding grief in general, it takes on many different forms per person. And yet I think as Catholics, sometimes we unintentionally are almost told that grief is not okay, even though you and I both know, you know, there's no context for that. There's no truth to that. But this idea that we are supposed to just accept everything that God gives us blindly, you know, if we want to be holy, we should be able to accept these things without question. It's not the reality. It's not the truth. And you know, I think it is so easy to go into that or to think that, and yet that's not really the best way to to move forward. I think it's to really, as you said, just kind of to grieve the loss of what has been taken. If it be, you know, someone dear to you, or if it be just a concept, a job, you know, all of these different things that you talked about. You shared, you know, that your faith has been integral in this period. Can you just share a little bit more about that, how the faith truly has supported you in this season?
Sure, absolutely. Well, and I think, you know, we speak about grief. Jesus himself, when we look at the story of Lazarus, you know, he mourned the loss of his friend, and yet he also, you know, he came back from the dead. And yet in that moment, we see such a tender part of Jesus recognizing that loss is very real. You know, it's a human condition. And I don't think that we should discredit that. I think there is a time for us to weep. I think there's a time for us to lament. I think that what we have to look at is in terms of where our loved ones can go. In terms of my faith, I think what really has helped set things apart for me is I look at where my mom is and that hope that one day I will be united with her. And as I've talked to other people that have lost, and this is a universal topic, you know, everyone at some point is going to experience this, whether they have already in multiple forms, or whether this is, you know, yet to come, or maybe just one person, we're all going to experience this. And I think one thing that I do recognize is that we don't spend enough time looking at the role of the soul, whereas oftentimes we look at the person and the way that they impacted our life. And that's still very important. My mom was a huge fundamental part of my life. She was well known in our diocese. I kind of like to joke that she had 2 parishes, 4 Starbucks, and 2 home goods stores. They were all different communities because she was just a very social, loving person. And I could speak for days on the amount of charity and love and kindness. But it's oftentimes overlooked that we don't look at the role of where the soul goes afterwards. And in forms of our Catholic faith, praying for a soul is very powerful. Having a mass said for our loved ones. We often celebrate, we do celebrations of life, but we also have to celebrate their new life because that's really our home. And I think for me, what has gotten me through a lot of the grief is that my mom had an incredible amount of faith. Now, she was a convert. She was not raised in the Catholic Church. And yet she modeled a lot of our faith, and one of her most simple things was to always have love in your heart. And I think that is such a powerful role that we need to remember in our faith. And so she always made that as the pinnacle of her life, is to show love. When I look at our faith and how we can honor our loved ones, I really goes down to a few things. One is, if we are fortunate to say goodbye to our loved ones before they die, is looking at the role of anointing of the sick. Now, my mom did not receive the sacrament. And I think at the time, my faith was a little, I'm a cradle Catholic, but even cradle Catholics, we don't always know the fullness of our faith. I was under the impression that this was more of just last rites. And really, you can receive the anointing of the sick several times. And I think if my mom kind of had this idea that if she received it, that was it. And so she didn't receive the sacrament. And I think I wished I would have liked for her to have partaken in this. But praying for our loved ones now before they've passed is also very powerful. And I believe also the role of confession, because we can do a lot now in our time here. When we die, if our souls go to purgatory, the souls are dependent completely on us for their prayers. They can't pray for us. They're stuck in a place where their souls need to be purified. And I think as a Catholic, we have a responsibility to pray for the souls in purgatory. And in turn, when they get to heaven and it's our time, we have a lot of people that will be for us and interceding for us. So I think our faith is really powerful. And one other point I would also like to make is the role of Saint Joseph. And last year was the year of Saint Joseph. Pope Francis, instituted that. And for a while, I had a hard time connecting with Saint Joseph because I'm a social person and he has no words in the Bible at all. He never says one single thing. And so I really struggled with that, especially from as a writer standpoint. You know, you think you have to have dialogue all the time, but his actions are so holy. And he was a big part of protecting Jesus, taking care of him, being a role model. And he's also the patron saint of for those at the hour of our death. You know, he is the terror of demons. And even up until the last hour of our death, the enemy is fighting for us. He is fighting to try and gain us. And so the time that we have here plays a really powerful role because St. Joseph's intercession, he can intercede on our behalf at the moment of our death. So I've learned all of these things since my mom's passing. And I really look at her passing as a blessing to me. I would love my mom to be here. There's no doubt. But I also look at, I wouldn't be on this journey and where I am without knowing that she has interceding for me. And she has led me to understand more the richness of my faith.
Today's podcast is sponsored by The Catholic Company. The Catholic Company is a one-stop shop for all your Catholic needs, from rosaries to books to clothing. The Catholic Company has it all. Use the code in the show notes to get 20% off your order. Yeah, I love that. I think the perspective, when we finally have it centered on him and we have it centered on our faith and, you know, the hope in the resurrection and the belief that heaven is attainable, we find ourselves better able to not only accept the loss, but to find joy in it. And maybe not so much the joy that we think of. We're not glad, as you said, you're not happy. You miss your mom. But there's a gift in knowing that, you know, God willing, she's in heaven and she's praying for you. I have, I'm one of eight children, and my little brother Colin had cystic fibrosis and passed away. And now, of course, I will be the first to say that this is a different relationship than a parent. So it's not a comparison. But it's beautiful for my siblings and I, and even for my parents, to be rest assured that we have a saint in heaven praying for us. And I mean, he was 3 months old. He was baptized. He didn't sin. So we know that he went to heaven. And so it's a joy. It's a joy to know that he's praying for me. And I can look at my life and I can say, wow, I've been so blessed. I've been able to avoid so many things, so many pitfalls, and I have no doubt that his intercession is a big part of that. Every one of my siblings is still a practicing Catholic in a family of eight. That's pretty difficult in today's age, and I have to say that Colin has probably been a big part of that, and I think it's something that shouldn't be lost in this situation. You talk about the need to pray for souls in purgatory is essential. You cannot mitigate that or hit home on it enough that we should be praying for those people who we have lost so that they can one day be in heaven if they are not already. But then also just the joy in their intercession when they do make it there and what they are fighting for, that we may one day join them in heaven.
Absolutely.
It's so beautiful. I wanted to ask you, I think this is something that can't be overlooked in the grief process. Oftentimes, people do not have a tough time admitting that they're angry with God. They cannot see how he could allow this, you know, and if it be a family member or a close friend or, you know, their spouse or a parent, there are these people in your life that when you lose them, it seems like the end of the world. And many people will say that, you know, they blame God or they're angry with God. So my question to you is, you know, firstly, you know, in your mind, is this okay? And then of course, how should we be responding in this space? Because I'm sure there's people who are listening to this who might be in that space currently or have been in that space. And I think it's important to speak a little bit about that.
Absolutely. And actually, I'm going to kind of connect to the last question, because in terms of praying for souls in purgatory, have masses said for your loved ones. And someone told me that even if your loved one is already in heaven and you have that mass said, that mass will not go to waste. That will go to someone who else is well received and needs that. And jumping back to the role of anger. So now I never experienced anger why my mom was taken. I never questioned why, but I have had loved ones in my family that have questioned that. In fact, some are still very angry of why she was taken. And so a couple things that I found that have been very consoling to me is I had I have a very close friend who is a nun. She's a sister of the Sacro Custodio Order, Sister Odetta. And she's actually in her 80s. She's very beautiful, very, very pious woman, very holy. She was my teacher in early years. And she called me about 7 months after my mom had passed away. And she said, Andrea, and she's beautiful, thick Italian accent, you know, Andrea. And she had told me that she'd had a dream that my mom had come to her in her dream. And when I was in the early stages of my grief, I had no dreams of my mom and I wanted them so desperately. And I can't verify this or not, but people have said that, you know, when you do that, it blocks your ability to have loved ones come in to come and speak through you. But she had come to my mom and my mom had come to her, and in her dream, she had told Sister Odetta that the Blessed Mother was very proud of her for how she had lived her life. And Sister Odetta called me immediately and told me this. And what that told me immediately was that, one, my mom was in heaven, and two, that our loved ones are interceding for us, that they're not sitting idle, that they are busy at work. They have tasks to do, and they are part of that communion of saints. Now, to get back to the role of anger, what I realized is that I never questioned God's plan for my mom, because my mom did everything she was supposed to in this life. My mom suffered greatly. Her father died when she was in her early years, when she was 12 years old. She took care of her younger siblings quite a bit. My grandmother, God rest her soul as well, you know, struggled with things, being a widow at an early age. So my mom really took on that role as the caretaker and the mother. And my mom had many surgeries. Her health was very poor. She struggled with a lot of, you know, family issues that I will, you know, keep private. But she always did so with joy. And she radiated this light. And so when people question, you know, why was she taken? She's such a good person. Why does God take the good ones? And I look at that as, why not? Because they've done everything they're supposed to. And that's what we're called to do here in this life, is we all have a job. We don't always know what that job is, but we're called to do that. We're called to serve. And God gives us those gifts. My mom was a talker. She was a mover and a shaker. She used those gifts for God's glory. And I truly think that's really powerful. And the second point I would say is that, you know, anger is a very natural and a very normal thing. It is perfectly fine to be upset with God, to be angry at him. He never challenges that anger. What we don't want to do is we don't want to sin as a part of that anger. You don't want to go out and get drunk and take your problems out, or you don't want to get in a fight because you're upset and you're angry. It's learning to cope with that anger. And that really can come through prayer. After my mom's death, I did experience anger, but not at my mom, members of my family. And again, I'm going to keep certain aspects of it private, but it was very hard because I exuded that anger onto loved ones that probably didn't deserve it. And I would go to a very close priest friend of mine, and he would continually ask me to say the rosary. And he would always give me 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. And that's the love is patient. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I used to think, okay, well, that's only for weddings, right? That passage is only for people that, and I had it at my wedding. And it made me look.
My spouse wouldn't let me have it. So.
But it can still be a part of your life, you know? And we use that passage, and it didn't occur to me until that actually helped me get through my anger, because I started to look at my resentment towards loved ones of my family, my anger, my jealousy, my bitterness. And I realized a lot of that was because I wasn't angry that my mom had died, but I was angry at the situation of the dynamics in my family shifting and my expectations of what things were supposed to be like. So that passage really helped me. And the rosary has really helped me. Now I'm going to tell you, my relationship with the rosary is one of love and struggle. I don't want to say hate, because I love the rosary, but it has been one of struggle. And prior to my mom's death, I started becoming more focused on praying the rosary, but it was a challenge because all of the prayers that I had were very, very big, powerful prayers. And many of them still have yet to be answered. And this was about 2 years after my mom had died. And I had gone to my priest friend, Father Joe, and I confessed to him. I said, Father, I have been praying the rosary for about 3 years now. And I kind of whispered to him in the confessional, and I said, I don't think it's working. You know, I said, I feel more miserable than I do better. And he said, well, that's a good thing. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, I feel miserable. And he said, that means you're being purified. And that really hit me, because what I realized is that when we become angry, when we become frustrated, when we ask those questions, why, God will put right in front of us all of the crosses that we are trying to struggle with. And we have to be receptive and open to his plan. And part of my anger was because my plan wasn't working. And I think that's really what anger is the core of, is letting go of our expectations. And anger comes when an expectation hasn't been met. And so I really had to look at the role of expectations of what I expected my life to be like now that my mom was gone, how my husband, how my dad, my dad is still with us. And I had to look at the relationship of my extended family members. And so I realized that that's really powerful. And then the third point I would also like to make is, when people are angry, we also have to look at the role of suffering from Jesus. You know, God allowed his own son to die on the cross and experience the most horrific death anyone could imagine. And so if he's allowing Jesus to do that, how are we any different to experience suffering, to experience frustration? Jesus didn't want to, when you look at him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he struggled, he asked, if this should pass, let it be your will, not my will. And so I look at that as, we have to trust in God's plan. So I would say to anyone that's listening, if you're struggling with anger and you're struggling with frustration, give it to God. He wants us to bring it back to him. If you're angry, let God know, God, I'm angry with you and I'm struggling and I'm frustrated. What is your plan for me? How can I get through this? And he will put the right people into your lives. He will intercede for you. We just have to be open to his plan, not our own. So, that would be my advice. Now, I'm not an expert. I don't have a, a degree in psychology, but I can tell you from my own experience and from my encounters, with people and with loss, that God's plan really is the ultimate plan. And the more we are receptive to it, the more joy. I'm at a stage now, my mom has been gone for almost 5 years. And I'm just now experiencing that joy of God, because I've had to weed out a lot of the other expectations in my life, and I'm more receptive to his plan than my own. So it doesn't happen immediately. We have to practice it. We have to get better at being open to it. It's kind of like quitting a 40-year smoking habit. You're not going to give it up on the first try. You've got to keep practicing and being receptive to God's plan. So work through that anger, work through that frustration, and be willing to allow God to intercede so that that you can be open to the gifts that he's putting in front of you. Because chances are he's already doing that, but we might be blinded by other factors. Take away the expectation of what you think your life is supposed to look like, whether your loved one is here or not. Take away that expectation of what could be or what isn't, and be open to the plan that God is going to put before you. When you do that, you're going to see more joy in your life. Happiness will come and go. It's fleeting, but the joy will stay and it will be there. And it took me many years to finally figure that out. And I'm still, there are moments where I fall back into my old habits, but I'm working to look at the joy that God puts in front of me.
I like that. And I think too, one thing I wanted to ask you as we're talking about this is just the importance of today. You know, you shared that your mother had, you know, cancer. And so I'm assuming that you guys at least knew the time was coming to some degree. It wasn't a, click of the, and she was gone. So I think too, if you could just speak to the importance of really taking advantage of the time that you have here. I think that's something that's important for those to just listen to, that we're called to not take for granted even a single moment.
I think what's really important for anyone that's listening is God has a plan for each of us. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And when we look at our lives on a day-to-day basis, we have to not make our own plan. When you wake up in the morning, God, what is your plan for me? What is your will? And I think that's really powerful, especially for people dealing with loss. They're mourning the past of what could have been. They're mourning the loved one, those joyful moments. And that's okay. That is perfectly okay. But being open to God's plan is probably the most powerful, because that's going to open up doors that you could never imagine. I never saw myself writing. And here I am. I've published my first book. I continue to teach. I haven't given up that profession. There's still a plan. God wants me there for whatever reason, to reach someone or something or somebody. That is still part of my journey. But being open to his plan and knowing that if you try your plan out, it you're going to have setbacks. So one of the things that I found in my journey is I knew that I should trust in God. I knew academically in my mind that I should, but then to do it and to physically apply it took a lot more. I used to think, okay, God, I trust you. I trust you're going to carry out my plan. I trust that you're going to do all of these things that I have set. And he kind of threw me back on my butt. And when I tried to put those things forward, they didn't work out. So I had to just really surrender to him, and to surrender and just say, you know, God, I give all of it over to you. I struggled with a relationship with my dad, and I love my dad very dearly, but we can butt heads. And I surrendered my dad over to God. I said, you know, he's your problem. I trust that you're going to put the right plan for him and for me. And the minute I did, like clockwork, things started to put into place. So being open to God's plan, because our time here is so limited. And while it does seem like it's ongoing, you know, it's been 4 years since my mom's passed. I don't know how much time God has for me. So however I do that, I want to see my mom one day. I want to use this time intentionally to help bring others close to God. I want to use this time to bring more to intercede. And that doesn't mean that you have to write a book. That doesn't mean that you have to, you know, jump on a mountain and, you know, evangelize. It can be in the smallest of ways. Whatever gifts God has given to you, are you using those for the glory of God? Or are you using those for yourself? Are you using those in vain? Or are you using those to help serve? Because he gives us all gifts. Okay. He gives us all gifts. I'm an extroverted person. I'm really good at planning things. Am I doing that for my own glory, or am I doing that for God's glory? How am I going to draw more people to God if I'm doing it for my own needs and not for his needs? So being receptive to the time that we have and starting each day with, God, what is your plan for me? What is your will?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, this has been a wonderful discussion. I appreciate so much that you were willing to take the time to talk to me. I want to give you the opportunity for just final thoughts and also, you know, to tell people where they can get your book. I definitely want to give you that opportunity. So
thank you. So my book is called Grieving Daughters Club. My name is Andrea Bear, and it is available on Amazon. You can just type up my name. It's there. Goodreads also. You can find it there, and there's different reviews. And you can also, if you'd like to follow me on my blog, it's www.andreabearauthor.com. Pretty easy to remember, Andrea Bear Author. And I also write I write blogs for CatholicMom.com, as well as QueenOfPeaceMedia.com. So you can follow me on any of those two sites. And I would just say, be open to God's plan for you. That's really kind of at the end of the day. We are all here on this journey, and we all have different paths on that road. So where are you in this journey? Where do you use the gifts and the talents God has given you to honor him and to glory? Because he really just wants us to return to him. He wants us to love him, and he wants us to honor him. And we use this time here to return to him.
Mm. Amen. Well, thank you. Every guest that I have on, I ask two questions. So I want to ask you, who is on your Mount Rushmore of saints?
Oh man. You know, honestly, I could probably have the whole Sierra Nevada with saints, because there are so many that I love, but, can I make it six, not four?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you can.
Okay. All right. So it's definitely the book.
Bigger Mount Rushmore anyway.
Okay. well, definitely the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. They have been big intercessors for me. I would also have Saint Elizabeth Van Seton. She is my patron saint, and ironically, she's also the patron saint of grievers and teachers. And when I picked her in seventh grade, I did not realize how important and how powerful she would be for me.
Yeah.
So I would also do Padre Pio. I think he is definitely a very powerful intercessor and one of our times that we definitely need in the craziness of our world. And then two others that I have come to know more intimately in the last few years is Saint Maria Goretti. And if you're not familiar with her, she is one of the youngest saints that has been beatified. She, I believe, was either 9 or 11 years old when she became a saint. And, she was tragically killed by this man who was trying to abuse her. And upon her death, she asked for forgiveness of him. And she even said, you know, upon her death, she says, I forgive him and I want him to be with me in heaven. And she ended up going in and seeing years later, I think his name was Alessandro. She came to him in a dream when he was in prison for her death. And she gave him 14 lilies, and those lilies represented the wounds that he had used to kill her. And that was her way of showing her forgiveness. So she's a powerful saint for forgiveness. And then my last one, and she's not yet a full-fledged saint according to the Catholic Church, but she is a servant of God. And that is Luisa Picaretta. And I could speak days on her, so I'm not going to say too much, but definitely look up Luisa Picaretta. She is called Servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, and Living in the Divine Will. And she lived on communion alone for 60 plus years. That was her only food substance. And she is a more 20th century saint. So she died in, I think, the 1940s. And that's she was incredible. Bedridden. I mean, I could keep going. I want to kind of leave kind of a cliffhanger so that your guests will look her up, because she's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I need to look her up. That's incredible. And the last question I want to ask you, God willing, one day you will be a saint. What would you like to be the patron saint of?
Oh, wow. What a heavy question. God willing that I become a saint. I think I would want to be a saint of gatherers, or as I like to put it, the patron saint of the PTA, because I think us busy moms can be in over our heads, and sometimes we need divine intercession for the load that we juggle. So that would probably be my response. But that's a great question. I'm not worthy to be a saint, but if I were, that would probably be what I'd want to be known for.
I like it. I like it. Well, thank you once again for coming on. This has been a pleasure for me, and I hope that our listeners at home are able to contemplate and to gain helpful insights from all the wonderful things that you've said today, and understand too that, you know, you are not alone, and that the Lord is at work, and He doesn't do anything on accident. So just trust His plan and be in conversation with Him, talk to Him about the things that you're struggling with, and the griefs that you might be experiencing. But thank you again for coming on. This has been great. And
Brendan, can I add one more little tidbit if that's okay?
Yeah.
I have a beautiful passage from Nehemiah, which is Nehemiah 8 verse 10. And it's, "Be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold." So if I could just share that with your listeners.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. I'll put that in the show notes too. So check the notes for that scripture verse and also different ways that you can find this book. But thank you once again, Andrea. It's been awesome to talk to you. And
thank you for having me.
You taking the time. And to everyone at home, have a great day and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe and check out goodcatholic.com for more details.